Again, this morning we will be parting from our normal practice. Again, normally we go through the Bible in what's called an expositional fashion or an expositional teaching way, which means we select a scripture and we go through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and allow God to sovereignly reveal His Word to us in truth. This morning, we will be parting from our normal pattern and doing what's called a topical message. Because of our emphasis on the abortion crisis this week, I will be presenting based on this subject. If any of you have not had your head in the sand for too long, you've heard the term social justice be thrown around quite a bit. That's the hot topic and the trigger word, if you will, this day and age. There's so many different subjects that fall under this umbrella of what's called social justice in our society today, and unfortunately, that term has been twisted by the secular world to mean something different than what it should. Whether it be whatever gender you want to assign to yourself and decide on, whether it be what your sexuality is, women's rights, racial reconciliation, or anything else, these all fall under the umbrella of what's called now in the media social justice issues. But again, what is social justice? Social justice is simply those issues out in society, whether in government or just in the population in general, and the thought behind them of what justly should be done to address those particular issues. Again, this week, our focus is on abortion, which by all accounts is the number one most concerning, most heinous, most evil social justice problem in our society today, the number one moral issue in our society today. We see in American culture that more than half of pregnancies are unintentional, not on purpose. And we see that out of those unintentional pregnancies, about 4 out of 10 of those are ended by abortion. About 1/4 of all pregnancies are ended by abortion. And when we think about the reasons why, we see the statistics are clear that the overwhelming majority of these abortions take place simply because of inconvenience, simply because their child is considered inconvenient. We can't afford to raise them. That child will cause an undue burden on my life. That child will cause me shame or embarrassment in front of the people I know. It'll wreck what I'm trying to do. My career will have to change. These are the primary reasons that abortion is done today. And this is a sad reality. And the question that comes out of social justice issues like this, out of moral issues in our society, is how are we to respond to them? How are we to act as believers in Jesus Christ? And so I want to briefly present a few biblical mandates for issues such as abortion. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. We ask you that it powerfully informs us today. And we ask you that in response, that hearts may be changed, whether it be an unbelieving heart changing to faith in you, or a believing heart simply conforming to the will and purpose of your word. And we ask this and believe that you will do this in our midst today. In Christ's name, amen. Since this is a moral issue, since this is an issue of justice, as we know, as we constantly go over in this church, every issue like this has to be filtered through the lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot properly think or act upon this issue of abortion without the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news of Jesus, and it informs everything that we do. Every decision we make, every thought that we have, everything we do in our lives should be informed and filtered through the lens of the good news of Christ as presented in His Word, in the Holy Scriptures. Abortion is no different. The reason abortion exists in our society is ultimately because there's a gospel issue in our society. It's because God is not being worshiped as He ought to. The Scriptures present the case that God is King as we pray today. He is King of this universe because He is all-powerful. He was before anything was, and He created everything that is in existence. And therefore, He has established His kingship over all of creation, over you, over everything that you own, over everything that you see. God is in charge and in control. But as we see, as a special portion of God's creative acts, mankind is created in a special way, in what's called the Imago Dei, the image of God Himself. And the basics of what this means is that we are meant as a special creation in the image of God on this earth to reflect His presence, His glory, and His attributes to the rest and the whole of creation. People are created in His image. As we've seen this morning in Psalm chapter 139, and then further in chapter 51, even as human beings are conceived in the womb, they already have a special focus by God. We see they have a soul, they have a special place in His heart and in His eye. They are specially created, even from the moment of conception. And we see that, again, all of creation, man is without exception, all of creation is made for the purpose to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And so we see that the Scriptures lay out a case that we cannot properly address this issue of abortion without being Christians, without being in Christ. We cannot properly see this issue. And so that is our first call and our priority this morning. If you are not a Christian today, a Christian is someone who simply has been changed by God to believe the good news of Jesus Christ. And on the basis of that faith in Jesus Christ, you have been declared in good standing with God, and you have been promised the hope of eternal life forever with our Savior. And God calls on us not to simply believe some wishy-washy details that we come up with in our mind, but to believe very concrete, factual things about what He has done in this universe. The Scriptures say that the gospel, the good news of Christ, is that, yes, God is King. He has created everything. He is good and merciful and just and kind. And in contrast, one of His creations, us, mankind, sinned against Him. And because of that sin and the sin that is passed down through all of generation from our forefather, Adam, we are condemned. A holy and a perfect God cannot allow us into a perfect place in perfect fellowship with Him if we are in sin, if we are imperfect. And the bad news part of the gospel is that none of us measure up. None of us are righteous. All of us are sinners. Even the good deeds that we do are counted as filth before a holy and perfect God. And so we all have a problem, even as David has said, we are conceived in iniquity in our mother's womb. All of us have a problem from birth that we do not deserve and cannot do anything to earn God's favor and eternal life. And so because God is just and holy, we are all in the condition from birth that we should be punished and punished for eternity for our sin and our fallenness. But what makes this good news, what makes the gospel great and wonderful news for those who have partaken in its gift, is that God did not leave us in this condition. God saw fit out of His mercy and His grace to solve this problem of our sin and hopelessness. And so God Himself became flesh in the form of Jesus Christ, was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life, a fully righteous and perfect life, obeying every part of the will of God, never sinning, and completely fulfilling what God had called Him to do. And part of that call was that Jesus Christ not only lived a perfect life, but He was put to death by God's own hand. And in that death, Jesus Christ took on the sins of many. He bore the punishment that we deserve for those sins. And in so doing, He has allowed us to be fully forgiven, having borne in His body the punishment, the anger, the wrath that we deserve for that sin. But the story doesn't end there. Jesus Christ died, yes. He remained in the grave for a number of days, yes. But He, to prove that He had accomplished the goal that the Father had given Him, rose from the dead in body, showing that He had accomplished and defeated death for all those who would believe in Him. And this is the good news of Jesus Christ, that as God allows, if we believe in that message, in that good news that I've just told you, that Christ has dealt with your sin forever, if we put our faith in that message, turn from our sins, lean on Him for our life, that He promises us that we will have eternal life, that we will have that abundant life that David spoke of. And so that's the first thing. For us to think rightly about this issue of abortion, we have to be in Christ. We have to be a new creation. We have to think of abortion through this lens of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how does that being in Christ affect us? We turn to Ephesians 5 for a few hints. You can turn with me if you would like. It's page 978 in your pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 5. What does it look like to be in Christ? It says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And skipping down to verse 8, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." In order to properly address this issue of abortion practically in our lives, we not only have to put our faith in Jesus Christ, but as a fruit of this faith, we have to live as Christians, which is exactly what will happen if we have been changed by God. We will imitate God as beloved children. Think of a way that a little child copies his father. And we will also walk with love. We'll walk in love as Christ loved us. And this love is self-sacrificial love. As it said, we'll walk in the type of love God loved us with, the type that caused Christ to give himself up for us. And it says our condition before this happened is we were in darkness. Our eyes were blinded. Our vision was cloudy. But now, having been saved by God and born again, we are now in light in the Lord. And so we must now walk as children of light. So part of what it means to be in Christ is not simply to believe the good news of Jesus Christ. It's that once we believe that good news of Jesus Christ, He gives us the grace and His Spirit and a new heart to live as children of light, no longer in darkness. This is what it means to repent, to turn from our old ways and to turn into God. And so to address this issue of abortion properly, we must be living in light of Jesus Christ. What does that look like practically? Our next call here, what it means to be in Christ, is also to shine our light and to expose darkness. Let's look down at verses 9 through 11. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. This is a command for Christians. And it's a two-parter in verse 11. The first thing we're called to do is to abstain from sinning. It says, don't take part in unfruitful works of darkness. I think many of us are very good at serving the first half of this command, of trying to avoid sin. And that's what we spend most of our time thinking about. But look at the second half. This is the second half of this command is where I think we all fall greatly short. Instead, expose them. We often find great comfort in focusing on ourselves, on focusing on our own sin and our own growth and where we are with Christ, trying our best to avoid sin, even though we fail greatly in this area as well. But I think oftentimes we fail to read that second part, that as children of light, as we bring the light of Jesus Christ to this earth, not only does the light affect us, but the light also exposes the darkness in this world. And we are called to do this as believers. So that is one big part of how we are to look at social justice issues like abortion. We're not simply to sit at home and do nothing about the issue and just say, well, I haven't had an abortion. That is a wonderful thing. That is a faithful and a good thing not to participate in this work of darkness. But the Scriptures call us to do more. They call our light to shine forth and to expose the darkness that is in our society. to expose the fact that 1.2 million babies are slaughtered every year. That a quarter of conceptions end in abortion. That most abortions happen after the seventh week that that child is living in the womb. A full heartbeat, measurable brain activity, response to touch, motions of grabbing take place after this point, grasping with the hands, sucking on the thumb, after even 7 weeks. And this is where the overwhelming majority of abortions take place, is after this point in pregnancy. We need to expose these things. We need to expose the fact that it is not some clean procedure that can be done just like going through a drive-thru. We need to expose the fact that hundreds of thousands of women are emotionally, mentally, and even some physically scarred for the rest of their lives because of these experiences. We are to expose this darkness. We are to expose the fact that it's unlawful to stomp on an egg of a bald eagle. But taking a human child and ripping him to pieces, while it can feel pain, is totally fine, condoned by this world, legal. We need to expose the fact that 23 states have extremely strict fetal homicide laws. 23 states still have very strict homicide laws when it comes to a baby in the womb. What I mean by that is, if a drunk driver in one of these states hits the car of a pregnant woman and that child dies in her womb, they can be charged with murder. And yet in many of those states, abortion is totally accepted and cheap and easy. We need to expose this darkness. So what can we do practically with this information? Again, first, if you are not a Christian today, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This is the only way to address this issue. Secondly, we need to be speaking more about this. I feel so often with the tragic truth of abortion, just like the example that was given of Auschwitz, that often we just cover our eyes and say, it's not over there, it's not happening in our city. You know, I can ignore it and live my life. 20 a day killed in just that one building in our city. So we need to be speaking about this issue. We need to be talking about it. It needs to be a conversation and a topic that is regular on our lips until it ends. Next, we need to expose the darkness. This can take place in many ways, whether through these conversations that we have with people, whether through participating in things like Love Life Charlotte, the walks, prayer, fasting, and even voting. We need to be voting for pro-life candidates locally, on a state level and nationally. We need to be barging in to city council meetings, to meetings with local magistrates, and telling them what the Word of God has to say about this issue. We need to expose these darknesses. And on the back end, we need to be open and willing to solve the problem of what is going to happen when abortion ends in our city. That 12,000 number is going to shoot up, And we have to be open and willing as people in the church, people of God, to set the example, to adopt, to foster, or to at least facilitate others who are capable of doing so. And most of all, again, abortion is a gospel issue. And so the best thing that we can do in addition to prayer is preaching the gospel to this dark and dying world, taking the good news of Christ and presenting it to those in our city who have not yet seen His light. The way to truly end abortion in our city is for people to love and worship God, because people that love and worship God do not kill their children. And we have the opportunity and the privilege, if you are a believer today, to carry that gospel into the darkest places of the world and change the culture for Christ. So again, in summary, this issue is a gospel issue. We need to think about it that way. The first thing that needs to happen for the abortion crisis to end is for hearts to change, for the gospel of Christ to go forth, and for His people to pray and gather together around this issue, calling on God to end this darkness in our city. And I ask you to participate with this week as we do a small part this Wednesday and this Saturday. And with that, let us pray together.